This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, a very, very, very good morning to both of you and the rest of the Klang Valley and the rest of Malaysia and the rest of the world. Good morning. It is the 24th of January, 2019, right?
Yes.
That's right.
I keep on losing my sense of time. I am joined by Sharids Abdullah and Joyce Goh, my erstwhile, I think erstwhile means in the past, my learned colleagues, and I'm Kuzu Chung. Good morning, chaps.
Good morning.
Guten Morgen. Good morning.
Good morning. What's on the agenda today? What did you guys do last night?
Last night, funny thing. Was at a work dinner with the bank.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Bankers, yeah.
All right. Snooping around looking for stories, as always.
Kepoing, yes.
Must mirror that.
What were you doing last night, Kuzu Chung?
I was having dinner with my family, and then I went to bed at, I think, 8:30.
Sounds actually a perfect night.
That's like a perfect night.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got locked out of the house.
Huh? Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. One of those silly elderly moments.
You left the keys inside?
Well, we all assumed that we all had the keys, so we had to go back to my parents' place. Because, you know, it's one of those days in the week where we'll pay a visit and just spend time with the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, got locked out of the house.
Had a senior moment. So what'd you do? Had to traipse back and get the spare key, is it?
So I had a senior driving over to pass over the key.
I used to live in this apartment, and I used to always keep my, you know, the sliding door open. So I just go to my neighbor's apartment, walk across the, you know, the awning. Because I was only in the first floor.
Yeah.
Then hold on to the pipes as you just go by. It's very easy to block. But there was nothing to steal in my apartment.
Spider-Man.
Sure.
Nothing. Okay, we've got lots of interesting stories. You've actually selected something which is quite interesting.
There's a poster that's going around saying with the hashtag "Say No to Zina." So that's saying no to illicit sex. So that has gotten quite mixed views on that.
Illicit sex.
In direct translation.
Okay.
According to the Star. So yeah, so we're gonna talk about that later on in the show.
Great. Well, I don't know if you've gotten the news, but last week, the Duke of Edinburgh, you know, he walked away unhurt in a car crash, and he's 93 years old. But if you remember May last year, I think Tun Mahathir, he drove a Proton, and I think that got a lot of likes online on tweets. So just a discussion, how do we feel about elderly on the roads?
So, interesting. We've got underage sex, we've got nonagenarians driving cars, and I've got something much more innocent than that. I have good stories about how people who don't like noise, essentially, are against having children in certain train compartments. All that and more, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Neil Young, the Canadian rocker, with Hey Hey My My Into the Black, about a song that is better to fade out. Burn out, then to fade away. I'm Trump, joined by Sharon and Joyce Goh, and I've got the story because here we are on the cusp of Chinese New Year, a time when lots of people are travelling, whether in cars, trains or planes. And it's a subject which I'm sure quite familiar to all of us because if we spend a lot of time in public transport, there's a lot of children out there, noisy children, spoiled children, screaming children, and there's this movement in China to suggest that maybe there should be separate train compartments where children, what they call bear children are, is in Chinese parlance, is spoiled kids, right?
Right.
Whether these spoiled kids can be, should be put away in separate train compartments where you've got adult-only train compartments. And by the way, guys, in Rasa Sayang Hotel in Penang, there's an entire wing where no...
Quiet zone, right?
Yeah, quiet zone, right? No children are allowed inside. Mm. It's for people who just want peace and quiet. Mm. Do you guys support this?
I think so. I mean... Oh, wait, no.
Hey, you got kids, right?
Change your mind.
I think
it's fair, though, to some who want their... I mean, for some adults or basically people who do not have kids or want their, I guess, time away from kids. That is where some hotels are.
Right.
It's not just Rasa Sayang. There are other hotels where there's even an age limit as to how old before a kid can come and stay at the hotel.
Right.
There are also tour packages right now that are tailored to adults and it's child-free. So at the end of the day, for us, like parents, of course, I'll be like, what? And actually, I'm not going to one hotel, particular hotel in Penang, because they do not welcome kids below the age of a certain age group, and my kid couldn't go.
So you boycotted this place.
So I'm not going to go, but I understand why they do
it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, let me rephrase. that I support for some reason. I mean, I do. I mean, the whole having a separation at the hotel. Mm-hmm, I mean, people do pay sometimes just to get that privacy.
You pay a premium to get peace and quiet.
Yeah, I mean, there are times when I just go away with my wife. When the objective is to not have children, and when you're surrounded by other children, then it doesn't really help. So I wouldn't mind paying premium for it. But in the case of a train, now that's a public space. I don't know whether or not we should mold our society in such a way where, you know, we start separating people. I mean,
there are train carriages where it's women only, you know?
Yeah, well, I think there's a deeper reason behind that, but along that line, I don't know. I completely agree with that as well.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the Chinese guy thinking about business again, right?
There you go.
But that's a real opportunity, right? Because if there's enough people willing to pay for a certain service or a certain level of premiumness, then why not, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say the same thing about women-only gyms or certain really Christian-only this or Muslim-only that or men only this. I mean, in Penang Club, there's a men's bar still, until today, oldest men's bar in the country. And if people are willing to pay for that premium, why not? Same goes for airlines. And I think that's a real proposition, because if I'm really stressed out at work and in my corporate job, I want to go away for a weekend, and all I want is solitude. The last thing I want, and I've got kids, right? I love my kids, but there's nothing more irritating than other people's kids who are like totally spoiled. I'm serious, right? And people would not like what I say, but it's true.
But that's.
And when you say airplane, I can. Okay, when it's train, I think it's easier to implement. But for airplanes,
because it's just carriages, right?
Yeah, but for airplanes, I'm not sure how it is. But then again,
Ken, it's called first class.
Ah, nice.
Something we're all very alien to.
Yeah.
Except for you, good.
You know, first class from KL to London is like $30,000 or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But there's no way a parent is going to buy first class for his son unless you're Halim Saad or something like that, you know?
Yeah, well, the worrying thing is how, if this is implemented, how it's molding the society, right? I mean, again, you're discouraging, you're discouraging people. More segregation is more. You're discouraging people to even have, you know, those who want to have kids to not have kids. And look,
you think it's going to stop people from having kids? Separate train carriages?
Okay,
for kids?
Well, that's a good point. Maybe not to that extent, but I mean, it's molding, it's shaping people's perception about how difficult it is to have kids subconsciously, at least.
Yeah, you're right. There's an entire movement of people among the youth, young people who don't want to have children anymore. They don't want mortgages, they don't want car loans, they don't want to buy a house, they don't want to have children.
They just want YOLO, right?
There's Monopoly games that are built for millennials, and basically, rather than buying Mayfair, they're buying experiences.
Do you think it's a culture of a bit more of thinking about just themselves, or what's happening here?
And I don't blame them.
No, I mean, kids over here, they're referring to bear kids. So I think it's time to introduce iParenting. I don't know if you've heard about that.
What's iParenting?
You're giving iPhone to kids. Parents giving iPhone to kids.
That's the worst idea.
Well, I mean, you have bears as a kid.
Yeah. But I think they should just talk to the kids and you know, prepare them for the journey, like in a train or on a plane. And then be prepared. Bring stickers, bring some books, activity books along, colouring books. I think that will help.
Yeah, colouring books, okay, for the adults as well. Well, tell us what you think. If you want to join in this conversation, jump in anytime. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Lorelei by the Fleet Foxes. I'm joined by Sharit Abdullah and Joyce Koh. Now, in the best and highest spirits of editorial integrity and balance, after having discussed children, now it's time to talk about old people, just so they don't feel left out. Little item from the UK's, I think it's the Telegraph, was it Guardian? Prince Philip, 97 years old, member of the royal family.
Yeah.
I think he had a bit of a moment in his car. He pranked his car. Now, I think the question now really is, should older people, elderly people, be re-examined, or if they don't pass the test, should they be taken off the road? I have particularly strong feelings about this, because in Penang, where there's a lot of old people, my ex-tuition teacher, Miss Wong, in her Mitsubishi Cordia from 1968, she was still driving at about 150 years old, and she was a complete and utter nuisance on the road, because her maximum speed was 10 km/h. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's the dangerous part, isn't it? Right? Just driving at 10 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
We see that a lot of times on the road, and I feel guilty a lot of the time.
I feel guilty.
That's right. You think, like, what is wrong with this driver?
And the
next thing you know, when you drive past them, it's, oh, man.
Auntie,
why did I say what I said?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good idea to have them take another test just to, you know, or maybe retrain the likes of it. But I can understand why some of them do not want to hand over the keys and they still continue to drive, because that gives them the independence. They feel that, you know, they can continue on doing the things that they love. And driving is definitely one when it, you know, it's tied to independence and, you know, wanting to go somewhere, to go do their marketing, to go to the bank.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I think it's good to keep them going, but it's also a good idea to have retraining or maybe a retest to see whether or not they're safe on the road.
Right. Retraining and retest. I mean,
not training, like test.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. Because you see, I mean, the thing is, it's not only are there an obstruction on the road, but they're also a bit of a danger, right? Mm. Because for all kinds of reasons, for them for driving too slow, for them to hitting inanimate objects, to even be veering off, or even, you know, I hate to say it, because, you know, we all have parents, but if they have a sudden illness on the road, for example, a stroke or heart attack, these things can happen.
Yeah, and when because of what things, you know, because of the things that could happen, it makes you worry. And but the other challenge is about how do you break this to them? A lot of them, you know, still, well, they probably, like any elderly, they're probably in denial, and they still feel that it plays the importance of getting from point A to point B.
Yeah, and it keeps them going.
Meeting the grandchildren, and they will be stubborn about this, and they will refuse to listen.
It's exactly what Joyce Gore said, right? It's about taking away his or her autonomy, because that is your link to the outside world. If you're especially if you're retired and you want to go out for your kopi or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like my father-in-law, he's got his motorcycle and he's still okay to ride it. But my dad is 79 and his car looks like it could have been used in Mad Max Part 3. He's got dings all over the place.
Right.
He hits inanimate objects all the time. Trying to say, hey, you know, don't drive the car. He won't like it.
Yeah, right. Of course. They won't like that.
Yeah, and maybe this is the time when ride hailing should come forward, you know?
You know, I try to encourage my parents who are in their 70s to do ride hailing and, you know, to do Grab, because they're from Penang. They've moved to KL and sometimes they don't know the roads and all that, you know, how to get to a road and all that. And I encourage them to do ride hailing and say it's very convenient, but they don't want to. They want to drive.
They want to drive.
Yeah.
That's right. Well,
it's a man thing as well, especially if you're a guy that's retired. Do you know what I mean?
You think it's a gender thing? I think it's overall. I think it's just losing their independence. They don't want to. They like the fact that they can drive themselves to wherever they want to go at what time.
Well, my tuition teacher, Miss Wong, in her 1967 Mitsubishi Cordia, you know, she would push her car seat all the way up right to the front of the steering wheel. And she'd like peep over the steering wheel and she'd be driving her kid.
That's the cutest thing, isn't it?
And then she went, oh my God, from College Lane, the Plotticos, that said that's the periphery of her.
She volunteered to drive for her, Chuang. Since you're a free man now.
Well, again, tell us what you think. Should the elderly be retested and re-evaluated for their skills or otherwise on the road? 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharit Abdullah and Joy Sko, and that was The Lights That Never Goes Out by The Smiths. Now, this story we've got from the Star, actually very interesting, Joyce. It's got something which will pique your interest as well. The National Population and Family Development Board, LPPKN, has issued a whole bunch of posters, and I think it's really aimed at unwanted pregnancies and baby dumping in Malaysia, which is a real issue in this part of the world,
right?
So some of the messages that have emanated from the LPPKN has been like things like all religions forbid sex before marriage, shun illicit sex, and basically you know, messages like Jagadiri and stay abstinent. Now, these messages, intriguingly, have raised the ire of the Women's Centre for Change, the Penang Programme Director, a lady named Karen Lai. She's become quite vocal about this issue, and she says that the messages that are being sent tend to veer towards the overly conservative and are not really constructive about the whole issue. What do you guys think?
Well, can it be must it be either or? Can we have both? Like, you have education, and at the same time, if there is a poster or something, information on this. I think what the government's trying to do is to go on this messaging. I don't know whether or not you can. You, it's like the way Caroline says is that you must choose either or, right?
Caroline Lai, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she's saying that. But I agree with her from the point of view of we should tackle social issues and try and find out what are the underlying issues, that what are causing these kind of like unwanted pregnancies and baby dumping, rather than just put up a poster. But yeah, that's my thinking on that.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about tackling social issues, you know, to be held, I mean, to be accountable by the government. But I think there's this, I don't want to call it a habit, but for the lack of word, that's it's scratching things on the surface, just coming out with solutions real quick and just basing it on statistics and not really diving deep into the issue. And what I find has been lacking is really getting an engagement before they come out with policies or campaigns such as this. A lot of the times they come out with a campaign, then they get a backlash, and then they respond to it, rather than, you know, it could have been dealt in a better way, engage public, get some form of opinion, have that reflected, have it in tune with the statistics that they have, and then come out with something.
Mm. I understand the conflicting forces that are at play here, because the Women's Centre for Change, this Karen Lai, she's saying that we should be more constructive and emphasise the importance of bodily autonomy, mutual respect, maturity. So these are quite, these are 21st century kind of developed world thinking. And this is, in my opinion, as a neoliberal myself, the most appropriate way. But then when you consider, right, the government's messaging, it's really speaking to the whole country. Mm-hmm. It's not really an urban center where exactly. Everybody's gone abroad and you've got 21st century ways of thinking.
Or you watch Netflix all the time.
Mm-hmm. The messaging has to appeal and be resonant and be effective for most people in the country.
So, I agree.
So you can't, you can't have one message for everybody. I think for the urban centres, one message, mm-hmm. and very effective that way. And then for the more rural areas, or for the less, you know, lower income families, for example, another kind of message. And I think when you talk to someone's faith, it can be very, very effective.
Yeah.
Even though we may not want to be centered on that way forever, it is very effective.
Yeah. Because the way she's saying that the messaging appears to be moralistic and judgmental. Mm. But then again, like I say, it's their way of reaching out. But like, I agree with you, Chuang, it could be in a bubble, it's an urban bubble. Because when you look at social media, the backlash that they're getting, it's quite urbanized.
Yeah.
You know, it's just coming from the same kind of people. It's a bubble.
Well, it's just different ways of getting to the same solution. No one in Malaysia really wants unwanted pregnancies, wants baby dumping.
Yeah.
How you get there, how we get there is this, the solutions are manifold.
Yeah.
Right? All of us have families. Certain of us have girls in our family, and we don't want these things.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's by explaining to them or by appealing to their faith, or by really appealing to some other more base instinct. If we're going to get there, we're going to get there. Hopefully we'll get there eventually, right?
Yeah, but it's not either or. You don't have to pick one.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not mutually exclusive, right? Mm. You can have both. And it appeals to different people at different age groups and different, either is it in urban centre or outside.
Yeah, and speaking about faith and the issue about religion is getting very personal these days. I mean, a lot of people have got very different perspective over it. They have different experience when they relate themselves to religion. Some travel a lot. And I think there's also that being able to tune a lot of people, the reason why this has become the direction is because they're moving away from some of the religious figures that are not in touch with people live their life these days.
Well, throughout history, the participation of the states in people's faiths and religion has been very, very powerful. It's ebbed and flowed through the years, but it has been very strong in the past. And I guess the overarching question here really is whether the government should be taking such a personal and significant participation in family affairs. Mm. Well, tell us again what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. That was Total Entertainment Forever by Father John Misty, an old song, a new song that sounds like an old song. This is, of course, BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharids and Joyce. I'm going to be doing some of the messages that have been flowing in, inundating us with all the messages. I think we've got five. Okay, so in response to the question of whether we should have child-free zones, Indraveni K tweeting us to say whether this is possible. But anyway, no, that would be equivalent to life-free zones. We should be inclusive. And Samuel Tan, taking the contrarian point of view, she says that he says, especially for passengers who need quietness, yes, most high-speed trains abroad have this. We've also got some comments on the elderly manning their cars.
That's right. So we received a message from KY Ho, and he's saying that before we drag grumpy grandpas to driving tests, let's look at the data to inform which age group causes the most serious accidents. I suspect it might not be the snail-paced granny, which is, yep, good point. And in parallel, it's not old cars that is not safe, it's poorly maintained cars. So.
Very good point. And there's this whole proposition in favour of having a vehicle end-of-life policy and annual car checkup like they have in the UK, the MOT test, both of which are very unpopular in Malaysia because no one can afford new cars.
Right.
And there's also comments from one of our listeners, Chia Tian Yuan, I think in essence saying that don't target OKU drivers or elderly drivers because they're not part of the larger problem. And I think the larger problem is what KY Ho says, poorly maintained cars, younger drivers that are very reckless, and I have to agree with them. I mean, some of the most reckless and dangerous drivers on the road are young people who drive Toyota Vioses, Toyota Myvees. Not wanting to overgeneralize, but typically these are the entry-level cars, which are very light. And, I mean, look at the Penang Bridge incident in case in point, right? Driven by two very young people. We can legislate, for example, very, very high insurance costs and so that people, like in the UK, right, they have these things, so that people won't drive too recklessly for fear of demerits and penalties.
And also being aware of the different types of drivers out there as well, just to increase our awareness and understanding and make us a bit more patient sometimes.
We also have a WhatsApp from Ro. He says that Grab has been a saviour to his dad's gallivanting and brought the family peace of mind. So his dad takes Grab, obviously, and I think that's how his father gets around, rather than to drive.
And then Ajib Rahman saying that, you know, in response to the story about how, the government is trying to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies and baby dumping. One solution, in his opinion, is to legalize abortion, transform LPPKN into a Planned Parenthood in the States. And it's not about religion, this person says, but to save the entire life of a girl who has made a mistake. At least now she might have a second chance.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, okay, interesting.
That's a big word, second chance. People always forget about the parent aspect of things, the mother's side of aspect of things, as the psychological trauma that they go through when such tragedy like this happens.
We also have Oliver Howard, who tweeted in saying that the story that we're talking about, child-free zones, he's saying good. Most people will flock there, leaving more space in the normal coach.
Okay, well, keep those comments coming. Keep deluging us with those feedback. Again, it's 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.